I'm on.
Ready?
We say the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I see there's three up there, right?
There are four of us.
Yeah, you got four.
Yeah, Director Sheldon just signed on.
Okay. Then we have a quorum. Can we do roll call?
Roll call, Director Green?
Yes.
Director Wigan?
Here.
Director Yeo? Director Tran? Director Nguyen? Director Amezcua?
Present.
Director Zhang? Director Meeks? Director Sheldon?
Here.
Director Bilodeau?
Present from Santa Ana.
Oh, sorry. You have a quorum.
Okay. Do we have any items received too late to be agendized?
No items received too late, but we would like to pull item two from the consent order.
Okay. Do we have a do we have this participation? We have a card here, but we can wait. That anybody else? Okay. Moving on to the consent calendar. Can we have a motion for all but number two?
I'll make a motion.
Do we have a second?
I can second.
Director Whitehead seconded.
Okay. Roll call.
Well, Director Green?
Yes.
Director Wigan?
Yes.
Director Amezcua?
Yes.
Director Sheldon? Director Sheldon? Director Bilodeau? Director Bilodeau?
Director Bilodeau, you're on mute.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm unmuted. The answer is yes. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yes.
That motion passes.
Yeah. Oh, I said yes too, but I'm sorry.
Okay.
Can I? I'll just nod my head.
Yeah. Let's get Director Sheldon's vote.
Okay. That motion passes 5-0.
At this point.
Okay. We hear item two: reject bid protest and award contract bond base and slope repair to Innovative Construction Solution and authorize amendment to NGO and establish a project budget.
Yeah, Madam Chair, Chris Olson has a quick summary of what has happened here.
Yeah, thanks, John. So we received bids for this project, and the low bid was Innovative Construction Solutions, ICS. There was a bid protest by the number two, second apparent lowest bidder, and it was on the grounds that they didn't have their current Department of Industrial Relations certification for one of their subcontractors. So we reached out with legal counsel. We talked about it. We reviewed the website and checked ourselves. And indeed, they did have it. We received notice through letter from ICS and also their legal counsel documenting that indeed they did have the certification, that it was expired, but they have a new one that was active when the bid was submitted. So in our minds, it's all good. It's acceptable. Legal counsel agrees, and all the recommendations that you just read, Chair Green, are applicable.
Okay. Anything else? Any other discussion? Yes.
Just as to the bid protest, I would just say we received sufficient evidence, and this is just a recommendation today. Obviously, the board next week would have to take action to reject the bid protest and award the bid. But as far as a recommendation from the committee, we thought there was enough evidence. Now we have received letters from both sides for the board to consider. Our recommendation remains to reject the bid protest because to the extent there was a defect, it was a non-material defect. The fact that they had a
put in the wrong number when there was already a good number. They just put in the wrong one. That doesn't appear to violate the statute, nor does it appear to be a defect that provided a material competitive advantage to the unsuccessful bidders. So given the foregoing, I would recommend that the board proceed with staff recommendation.
Okay.
Do we have any questions? Any comments? Do we have a motion?
I can make that motion.
Okay. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Second. We have a motion and a second. Roll call.
Roll call. Director Green?
Yes.
Director Wigand?
Yes.
Director Mezquet? Director Mezquet? You're muted.
Valerie, you're muted.
Apologize. Yes. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Director Sheldon?
Yes.
Director Bilodeau? Director Bilodeau?
Yes.
That motion passes 5-0.
Okay. Moving on to item 7, amendment to agreement with the City of Santa Ana and Molten Agel Water District.
Okay. Yep, Madam Chair, Chris Olson will present this.
Morning, Chair Green, members of the committee. All right, set up here. So again, this is an amendment to an existing agreement between City of Santa Ana, Molten Agel Water District, and OCWD. And it's for a 3-year extension. So just to talk a little bit about the history, something related, in 2006, rolling into 2008, there's an emergency supplies agreement, supply water to South Orange County, and that's via IRWD. It's meant to be during emergency events, and the agreement states for up to 50 CFS for 30 days. And the 2008 was the day it was set. It has a 25-year time frame. A decision to extend or terminate 3 years before, which puts that at November of 2030 to decide if it continues on or ends. More recently, in 2017, the district broadened the water resources policy to allow considerations of programs with South Orange County agencies. In 2019, we entered into an agreement with Molten Agel Water District to consider a water program. And that this potential emergency interconnect water supply was discussed with the producers several times. It continues to be discussed with the producers. And what resulted from those discussions was in 2021, the board developed policy principles for providing those emergency water supplies to South Orange County agencies. And I'm going to walk through them. I'm going to paraphrase a little bit. So there's two slides of the policy principles that were developed in 2021. So starting off with, OCWD will explore and look to develop a new program to assist South Orange County agencies during periods where there is no imported water available. We'll periodically meet with South Orange County agencies to determine what their water supply needs could be. And any proposed new actions to assist South Orange County will be coordinated with possible extension of the existing agreement, the Phase 1 Emergency Services Agreement that I mentioned. Also, Metropolitan Water District would indirectly benefit from such an agreement and such a water supply during an emergency, and to the point where we'd be requesting them to financially participate, financially help out with the capital expenses that would relieve pressure on their service itself. Continuing, any program would not adversely impact OCWD's operations. There would be a financial benefit to OCWD from the program. It would comply with the District Act. We would work collectively with MODOC, the groundwater producers, and any interested South Orange County agencies to develop any new programs, which would ultimately be recommended to the board. So fast forward to more recently, 2022, we entered into an agreement with Molten Agel and the City of Santa Ana for them to begin a feasibility study for such an emergency interconnection supply. Some language of that existing agreement is that Moulton would fund all the money needed for the work, that the water from the city of Santa Ana's supply system would only be pumped into the Orange County feeder number 2 when there is zero water available to Moulton Niguel, zero water in the pipeline. All new facilities would be designed to current standards. At no time would the delivery to Moulton cause or exacerbate a shortage of water to the cities of Santa Ana's customers. And then Moulton would reimburse the city for all expenses incurred as a result of this program, also would reimburse OCWD. Okay. So moving forward to what they've done so far, Moulton hired Tetra Tech to look at a connection study for the East Orange County feeder number 2. There were several potential options, Santa Ana, Orange, and Tustin. And what resulted was the most feasible was Santa Ana's East Station. From there, they went to a feasibility assessment using Brown and Caldwell. And that provided conceptual layouts, looked at water quality, hydraulic analysis, and developed a cost estimate. At this time, several years ago, that construction cost alone was upwards of $27 million. So the conclusion was that it's feasible. They know that there has to be coordination between Moulton, Santa Ana, ourselves, MODOC, and Metropolitan. And they would continue to work to mitigate any potential effects that would be resulting from City of Santa Ana's system capacity while they had emergency interconnections in use. So focusing on what that Santa Ana East Station looks like, there's an existing well, number 26, right next to the reservoir. So the improvements that would be proposed for Santa Ana as part of this would be a new generator, a disinfection building, a booster pump station, a new well, also with PFAS treatment systems, all as a result of the need to provide that flow during an emergency condition. And what I want to point out, I'm going to say this again in a future slide, but the city of Santa Ana would be able to use all these improvements for their own needs at any point in time and would only be supplying for the emergency services during a condition where there's zero water in that pipeline to provide water down to Moulton. So if you're looking at the pipeline to East Orange County feeder number 2, it's about a mile of pipe. And again, it would be when there's no water in the pipeline, up to 14 CFS. Here's an image that shows how that feeder line comes down. So not only is it the East Orange County feeder number 2, but then it rolls into, connects to the joint regional transmission main. So a point in showing this is there's a lot of stakeholders that are involved with ownership. And then here's a list that I received that actually have stakeholder ownership in East Orange County feeder number 2. All these agencies, cities here would have to be coordinated with in order to make something like this happen. What they've done so far is, again, it's that feasibility assessment, which is something that was just recently done, and they're looking to move forward. They want to get into the point where they can start engaging with the East Orange County stakeholders and East Orange County Feeder Number 2 stakeholders, move forward with the design and CEQA. We're looking at putting together a 3-year window for these things to take place. And that's why today they're asking for the amendment, because the existing agreement does expire next month. And all along, we would also want to negotiate what OCWD's payment would be and the Santa Ana obligations that I mentioned on that previous slide to make this happen. Future activities, of course, are pursuing grants and design and bidding. So some additional things to think about is, you know, we always say supplying emergency water to South Orange County is good public policy. And as I mentioned with the stakeholders that are involved with that feeder number 2, developing a new program with Moulton, it does have some institutional issues. It's got 2 pipelines and people that own it and that have to be worked out. It needs to be coordinated with that existing phase 1 agreement. And it would need to comply with our 2021 board policy. We would continue to work with our groundwater producers on this. And Moulton is going to be funding all the costs that are associated with this. And again, eventually a payment for OCWD would have to be negotiated. That leads to the recommendation of just approving the amendment for the three-year amendment for the existing agreement. We can open it up any questions.
Do we have any questions or comments?
Madam Chair, may I say something?
Sure.
So thank you for the presentation. And I did meet with Caesar, who does a wonderful job with our water department. And we as a city are supportive of this item. So thank you for all the work that you've all been doing. And again, for the presentation.
Paul Weichhorst.
Thank you, Kathy. Good afternoon. I'm Paul Weichhorst, the Executive Director of Water Policy at Irvine Ranch Water District. Want to kind of follow up here with a discussion that occurred at the producers meeting today. There was a lively conversation about this agreement and what's occurred, transpired to date. Clearly, the issues have been focused on just the engineering aspects, and we're glad to see that there's going to be, you know, some discussions ongoing with those that own capacity in East Orange County Feeder Number 2. But one thing that is clear to at least us at IRWD, and I think in many of the other producers, is that the producers are not being brought along on this program at all. There's a lot of questions about how much water is involved, what type of water is involved, how long is it going to be available, you know, how does it fit into the requirements of the Orange County Water District Act, and we'd like to see a parallel process be aggressively pursued along with what's laid out in this amendment to help bring the producers along. We'd like to be in a position where the producers can stand up and say, by the time you get to the CEQA process, that we're fully in support of where we're going. So with that, I appreciate your time. Thanks.
Thank you. You didn't fill out a card? Okay, go ahead.
Thank you very much. Schomburger with Mesa Water District. So, you know, I do believe there is a path forward for this project. However, next steps, I don't believe, are final design or CEQA. We've already done the preliminary engineering study. We know physically what the components are and what the costs might be. The question has always been the institutional issues. And is this even a project institutionally? And I note that this amendment is just to push forward the final CEQA. So CEQA is, at this point, with none of the institutional issues resolved, will require, you know, engagement from the producers and heavy engagement from the producers. So we will be spending technical and consultant and legal cost to engage on something that's not really defined institutionally. There was a comment being made that have been many discussions with the producers on this, but what was left unsaid is back. And as a group, we all sent a letter, other than Santa Ana, in 2017 asking to, let's talk about these institutional issues before we go forward. And we're still at the same place. We asked today at the Water Issues Committee who all supports this agreement as written, and it was just Santa Ana. So all the other producers have questions. It's not that we're against this, but, it needs to proceed in the proper way. And we really don't want to spend funds on engaging heavily on a CEQA if we don't have to. So with or without this agreement, the first step should be these discussions. It's been a project for 7 years. We haven't really had the tough discussions that you need to make this a reality. So, my request from Mesa Water's standpoint would be to, you know, put this on pause and not going forward with this agreement doesn't kill the project. It just sends a good message. Well, let's talk. Let's bring everyone in and let's talk about these institutional issues. Thank you very much.
Yes, Ken Beccarelli.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the board. I concur from Golden State Water Company's perspective. We've always voiced concerns about this particular program, not specifically about emergency services or working as a team, you know, in Orange County to make sure that, you know, we take care of our own. However, the institutional issues that we're talking about specifically are potential long-term basin rights or long-term straw in the basin from an individual South County agency that, yes, is willing to pay for the engineering projects associated with what could make that happen. And, you know, the feasibility study, I think, is important. They haven't backed down yet. They be in Mount Miguel Water District. And I'm sure they won't be if this is one of the most cost beneficial ways for them to ensure 5,000 acre feet of reliability in an emergency. The concerns voiced about moving forward as an OCWD MODOC partnership for this kind of an arrangement, I think, need to be considered. And finally, one of my last concerns is that I don't believe Mount Miguel Water District has paid Orange County Water District staff or for any of our resources to date on efforts moving this program forward. I'm concerned about that. I would like to see that happens because these resources are not being paid for by Mount Miguel Water District, they being our OCWD general manager, staff, legal counsel, and the elected officials as well, all of which have compensation mechanisms and certainly accounting associated with those mechanisms. Thank you very much for your time and for listening. Appreciate it.
Any other questions or comments? Okay, John?
Yeah, I can add a few things. I did want to mention the new program we're considering would be very similar to the existing program we already have for South Orange County. We're not looking to deviate significantly from that existing program. I also wanted to add that we've had several meetings with the producers. This idea has been going on for at least 5 or 6 years. And periodically, we've had good discussions with the producers. And in fact, the 2021 policy that the board came up with that will oversee the development of any new program, all those policy principles came out of concerns the producers had. And so the producers even sent us a letter, I believe, maybe 4 years ago. And we took all that to the board and the board came up with the 2021 policy principles that will guide what any new program will have to look like. I think some of the issue here is from staff's point of view, as Paul Schoenberger mentioned, there's some significant institutional issues to make this project happen. And one of the big institutional issues is using the two existing pipelines that Chris Olson showed. The East Orange County Feeder Number 2, that is a pipeline that has a lot of operators and owners. And then there's the joint transmission main. That is a completely separate pipeline with a different set of owners and operators. And institutionally, primarily Moulton will have to, and us will have to negotiate with those two different sets of people to decide if we can use their pipeline. And it's going to be, it could be a difficult process. And I was just talking to Matt Collins from Mountain Miguel, and he told me there's a kickoff meeting scheduled for next week to start to dive into those institutional issues. So from staff's point of view, we don't really know if we actually have a project until we resolve those institutional issues for those two different pipelines. We also don't know what the capital cost of this project is going to be. We're using a number from 5 years ago, and the capital cost could be a lot higher. And that's something you want to know before. We need to know that Moulton is prepared to pay a much higher capital cost. So from staff's point of view, we needed to resolve a few more things before we dive into some of the details of how the program could work. And so that's been kind of the sequence that staff has had that we should use. Eventually, as Chris Olson mentioned, we will have to negotiate a fee that the water district is going to receive from Moulton. But that's something I didn't really want to dive into yet until, again, we get some of these institutional issues resolved. So, but we have met with the producers. There's clearly some producers who are very interested and have concerns, rightfully so. But eventually we'll get the institutional issues worked out, and then we can have some of these more detailed meetings and questions and get some of these other issues resolved. But we've already been talking about this for 5 or 6 years, and I suspect it's going to be several more years before we get to a point where we can bring something to our board, where the board can vote up or down. So a lot said there. I'll stop there and can answer any questions.
Any other questions or comments? I have a comment. We have been exploring this for a number of years, as John said, but also the fact is we need an emergency water supply for South County. There's no doubt about that. And we need to come up with a plan. And we're running at a deadline right now. And one of the motions is to extend the deadline. And I see no problem with that at all. So I would move for the recommended action for item 7.
Madam Chair, can I second that with a comment, please?
Please.
You know, I've only been on the water board a short time. Many of you have been here for quite some time, but this has been a project for 7 years. And I just want to piggyback on what Kathy was saying. We're talking about an emergency. And so with this agreement, what I understand is just basically an extension. We're not making any decisions today as far as how we're going to do things. As John had indicated, we're still working on the institutional issues and whatnot. So today's item is just to extend it. Is that correct, John?
Correct.
So I just want to make that clear for myself as well, because not being on the board 7 years ago when this all started. So that's all I have to say, and I'll second that motion. Thank you.
I'm sorry, Director Amespa. Did you want to make that motion?
No, I just want to second.
And I'll second.
No, I'll okay. Second your motion. I'm good with it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good enough. Okay. Roll call.
Roll call. I'm Director Green.
Yes.
Director Wigand.
I'm real quick.
Oh, who?
Director Steve Sheldon.
Yes, Director thank Sheldon.
You. I guess I'm on. Thank you. I'll be supporting this motion. I've always been a supporter of more water supply, pretty much wherever it comes from. And I just look at this in that same vein. I absolutely believe that we need to work with all of our producers that have invested in the basin. I think there's no intent to in any way diminish or take away what has been invested. But I think there is certainly potentially room to share. So I think we should move forward and continue to look at this. And that is the best thing for water if you have a water supply philosophy. Thank you.
Director Wigand?
Yes, I just had a question for our general manager. So it's a 3-year extension. When do we look to going back to the producers to have some more clear conversations, you know, to kind of to ease those concerns that were brought up in their public comment today? Do you think a 3-year extension would be beneficial, or should we lower that, you know, to a 1 year to satisfy, you know, so those discussions can get in and then we can come back and then have another extension beyond that? Or is the 3 years a significant need or demand? That's kind of where I'm looking at.
Yes, Steph, I mean, we think 3 years is appropriate. There's a lot of work to do, and it'll take some time. I mean, I am absolutely committed to engage the producers. We can talk about this every month as we learn new things. We'll update them. I mentioned there's going to be a meeting soon to talk about the East Orange County Feeder Number 2 and some of the institutional issues, and they can be invited to those types of meetings. So we have a history of always, you know, actively engaging the producers, and I'll make sure that continues. As we learn things, we'll share it with them. So I think the issue is they would like to start maybe negotiating the final agreement sooner than later. And to me, I prefer to wait until we do make this more progress on developing the project before we kind of get into final negotiations of a final agreement.
Got it. Thank you.
Doug Reinhart?
Madam President? Madam President?
Yes. Chair, agree?
Yes.
Yeah, I've been an old civil engineer. I'm trying to
understand. I can't hear you.
I thought I muted myself. Can you hear me now?
I can.
Okay. Being an old civil engineer, when I was doing projects, I mean, maybe this happened. I just need education. But when you look at a project, you kind of look at all the go, no-go issues before you get into too much detail. And I don't know if there's been any discussions with the owners of these various pipelines, but that's a go, no-go decision. And, you know, did you find out that they said, well, yeah, we'd be willing to listen, or it's not over our dead body that you'll do this? I don't get spending all this money before you know that you have all the, not all the details, but you have at least an understanding that there's no, obstacles that are not going to be overcome before you spend all the money. So maybe you've done that. Can you educate me on that, please?
If I can respond to that, that's a good comment. And that risk is on Moulton Nagel. Moulton Nagel is hiring the consultants and paying for all the work being done. And so there is a little bit of risk starting design before you have all the institutional issues completed. But and any money the water district spends, we send an invoice to Moulton Nagel. So we're covered. But that's a risk all on Moulton Nagel right now.
Ken Vecchiarelli.
Yes, thank you again, Madam Chair. Appreciate John's additional comments regarding those institutional issues, and reflected again by, I think, Director Reinhardt's comments. What we had heard and read in the report was that the amendment doesn't just extend the deadline, but it also changes the scope to move into final design and CEQA. And that was our concern, or at least that was one of the major concerns, is that letting that train move down the track before the track is completed to its destination seems like even if it's just Moulton Nagel's risk, it seems like we're a little bit complacent in allowing that train to move forward before we've determined where the path for the tracks will be, that everyone that's invested in the train and the tracks agrees that, this is a good policy, a good project, and should be moving forward. And I think Paul Schoenberger basically addressed that same issue. Once a design and CEQA is initiated, once final design is brought, or at least preliminary design is brought to a point, then all agencies that might have concerns or support will be spending resources, I think, to either support or ask more questions about this. Anyway, I appreciate John's points, and we hope that those institutional issues are at least explored to the point of go, no go before there's any more resources by OCWD or Moulton Nagel really to expend towards the final project. Thank you.
Director Sheldon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I had a question regarding CEQA that I neglected to ask, and it was brought up again. And so what I understand is the CEQA is going to be starting. Is that like a, is it, which starts with a project description, and I support this project going forward, but is it at the point where we have that nailed down? I guess that's my question. I have a couple of questions. That's one for our general manager, John.
Yeah, Director Sheldon, let me ask a representative from Molten-Nagel when they think they'll be starting CEQA matter, Todd.
Thank you very much. Hello, everybody. My name is Matt Collings. I'm Assistant General Manager at Molten-Nagel Water District. First off, thank you to the board and Orange County Water District staff for bringing this item forward. To answer Director Sheldon's question, we're considering planning on starting CEQA probably by the end of the calendar year. Really, what we're coming up against is the agreement as it exists today, which includes preliminary design and CEQA today, expires in about a month. So we were looking to extend that a few more years to allow additional time. And while we're taking that step, we wanted to bring forth the conversation on adding final design into that. So we didn't have a bunch of sequence of stepwise actions that were necessary amongst all the parties of the agreement. We do understand and appreciate the concerns that have been raised. I do appreciate the fact that there are institutional questions to be resolved. I do believe, and maybe this is me being too optimistic, that those are solvable problems. This is not dissimilar to the existing Irvine Ranch interconnection that exists today. It's the same type of project, same type of concept, under the same agreement framework. But we recognize that that agreement needs to be reviewed and updated. And to General Manager Kennedy's point, will be done so through the course of this project, and we're happy to do that. But we also believe that given the emergency nature of this, given the fact that the existing agreements, including the Irvine Agreement, expires in the next few years, it's timely to be moving forward in a parallel path. And that's where our board is committed to moving this forward in a parallel path, but working through those questions that need to be resolved with all the partners of the facilities. So again, appreciate your time.
Thank
But thank you. So my question now to John is, will this come back to us with more specificity before CEQA is commenced, actually kicked off?
We can definitely give the board monthly or quarterly updates as we learn more, as we get into the talking with these owners of these two different pipelines we want to use. We can bring back summaries of those meetings and let update the board on exactly where we're at.
Okay, I think both Pauls had a great had valid points that I listened to. I think it should come back quarterly or come back when you've got everything put together and these things, the issues have been worked out. So I think we should add that to our motion. My other question, it was brought up that the conveyance system wasn't under control of the project proponents. So can you tell me a little bit more about that?
The question is, the conveyance is not controlled by Molten-Nagel.
Well, it's not authorized. Yes, it was said that it was not authorized, that they don't have permission, some type of critical path permission.
There's two separate pipelines that we would want to use with this project. East Orange County Feeder Number 2, it comes down from the Deamer Treatment Plant, comes down north to south, and that would be the pipeline that Santa Ana would be pumping into. Metropolitan Water District actually is part owner or has interest in that pipeline. And there's a lot of parties involved in that. And then that pipeline then turns and heads towards South Orange County, where it connects up with what's called the Joint Transmission Main. And that pipeline has a completely different set of owners and operators. And so, we're going to have to navigate working with two separate owners with two separate pipelines to come up with a deal. Now, I'm pretty sure there's capacity available in those pipelines, but we just have to figure out how do they approve our program being able to use those pipelines? Do the existing owners have equal votes, or can one owner operator veto the whole thing? I think there's some institutional issues like that to have to be resolved. to be able to use those two separate pipelines.
Is the first one owned by MET?
MET is a partial owner, yes, so, including in MODOC also.
So it's unknown who controls, like how those are controlled and managed and paid for?
There's some gray areas. You know, you ask people questions, how does it actually work? I ask who's the owner? Who's the owner of the pipeline? And I got an answer. We're not sure anyone's an owner, but maybe we're all trustees, something like that. So there's just some gray areas of what the existing arrangements are to operate those pipelines.
I think the comment was correct. That's a critical path. You have to control the pipeline or control the land. So is that being resolved sooner versus later before we spend more time and energy?
I think that's exactly what Moulton wants to do.
Can they answer that? Because this is their project. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, John, but I really want to hear from Moulton how they're going to get deal control to be able to do this.
No, I think that's a great question, Director Sheldon. We have had discussions with MET primarily from a feasibility standpoint, and that was partly what delayed the conversations on a broader scale with the other interested parties in the pipeline, because the feedback we had gotten was, well, how's MET going to respond to this? They operate the East Orange County Feeder Number 2. So how are they going to respond to this? How do they feel about it? So we had to work through those feasibility issues with Metropolitan's operations group, with their water quality group, and we've resolved those questions with them now. So at this point, that's why we're ready to begin engaging with the rest of the East Orange County Feeder Number 2 participants to say, how can we move this forward amongst the collective group? So I agree, it is a critical path issue, but we feel it's one that is resolvable and can be worked forward in a parallel path with the rest of the project. As far as the joint transmission main, it's a subset of the owners of that are a subset of the East Orange County Feeder. So it is a kind of a continuing conversation. It's not a different set of people that need to be discussed with this with. And as I noted before, we currently already are moving water into the joint transmission main through the IRWB interconnection. This is a similar project, a similar concept. So we feel that there's some precedent for moving this forward. We just have to move that further, a couple miles further up, and incorporate the East Orange County Feeder Number 2 into that discussion as well.
When do you think you'll have an executed cooperation agreement from, or non-binding cooperation agreement or something?
We're kicking off next week with MODOC, with OCWD, to talk about how we're going to roll out those East Orange County Feeder Number 2 discussions. And then my hope is that within a month or so after next week, we're scheduling a broader meeting with all the participants to be able to talk about the next steps, how we address concerns, what are the concerns, and starting to begin moving that forward. We're not exactly sure the mechanism that's going to be required to obtain those institutional authorizations to move that forward. So there's a lot of things that we're going to be working through there, but we think we can do that in a parallel path over the course of the next year or so.
I've been supportive of this project and supportive of more water supply, but I'd like to ask Mesa and IRWD, I mean, does everyone believe that MET is supportive of what you're doing? Does they agree with that? Because I think you implied that. Does everyone agree with that?
You know, Director Sheldon, I can add that the Metropolitan Water District did come up with a policy that says if the pipeline is empty, you can use it.
Okay.
So that policy was approved by the MET board. It's just working out the details of that it would be the next step.
I strongly encourage getting these important specifics down. Thank you. I'm done. Thank you.
Hey, Director Amasqua?
Yeah, I would just like to amend, if I could, please. Director Sheldon,
we can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Just need to talk a little louder.
I'm sorry. I'm usually pretty loud, so let me try it again. I'll use my teacher voice. All right, can you hear me?
Yes.
All right, so I agree with Director Sheldon. Can we add that we get quarterly reports, please, so we can stay on top of this so it doesn't take another 7 years? I don't plan on being here 7 years.
Agreed.
So if we can amend your motion.
Sure.
Perfect. So I'll support the motion, just amend it to add that we get quarterly reports. And I'll call for the vote, please.
Okay.
Roll call. Director Green?
Yes.
Director Wigand?
Yes.
Director Yeo?
Yes.
Director Tran?
Yes.
Director Amezcua?
Yes.
That motion carries 5-0.
Okay. Moving on to item 8, request for proposals for stormwater credit banking feasibility study.
Madam Chair, Lisa Haney will present this.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for the time to present today on a possibility of a new water supply for Orange County Water District. We are going to be discussing and asking today to go out for a feasibility study to understand if municipal stormwater could be an alternate source of water supply for Orange County Water District. As we know, we already have a diverse portfolio. I want to remind everyone that the Santa Ana River base flows are due to go down over time due to water recycling projects that are already scheduled to occur in the upper watershed. So we know we will be losing that piece of the pie over time. It will be decreasing. We also know that our storm flow piece of the pie will be highly variable moving forward due to weather whiplash and just climate change. We have an unmeasured piece of the pie with natural incidental recharge. We know that a portion of that piece, though, are water quality projects that are being completed and administered by municipal cities who are treating for water quality and putting that water into our groundwater basin right now. So we'd like to start measuring that piece of the pie and understanding how many of those projects exist, where they are, and how much water they're actually putting in. In addition to losing Santa Ana River flows over time, we are also starting to lose our water conservation pool behind Prado due to sedimentation. As those really wet weather events come in, they bring with them a lot of sediment, and that begins to fill in our conservation pool. Over time, we've been able to increase our elevation to accommodate for that fluctuation of sediment coming in. However, we have a hard stop at elevation 512, and that's because we have the Corona Airport that exists at elevation 514. Now, that airport is scheduled to be removed in 15 years, but for the next 15 years, we have a hard stop and a lot of sediment still coming in. So we are losing our storage capacity. Every time we increase, we gain some storage capacity, but over time, we're going to be losing it. So we're not maintaining that. So that's two ways that we're losing some water supply. And we would like to try to find an alternative water supply source to mitigate for these losses. This is a GIS layer that was just produced by our GIS department, who's wonderful and amazing. They do incredible work for us. What you'll notice is that this is kind of a heat map for sediment. It explains where the sediment is coming in and where it is depositing within the Prado Basin. The orange-yellow colors represent higher levels of sedimentation, so you can see where those are existing and filling in. So where is our alternate source of water supply potentially? We would like to do a feasibility study. We would like to ask permission to go out for a feasibility study to see if we could capture some of the municipal stormwater. And that is the water that falls within the city or county system that goes into a storm drain system and is discharged either to a river or to the ocean. Even if it's distributed to the river, it's still going to the ocean. It's water that is lost that could be reclaimed for water supply benefit. You may ask, why would they want to do that? Let me explain. There are three permits and regulations that municipalities must follow. And there is a lot of pressure both at the state water board level and regionally here in our area for stormwater to meet certain water quality parameters. These are new regulations, so new motivation to figure out how to solve this problem. Currently, they are just collecting the water and releasing it untreated, and they are unable to meet those water quality obligations. So they are looking to do and highly motivated to find partners to do more regional water quality projects that treat the water, and then they want to infiltrate it back into our groundwater basin. So that would be new water for us, and maybe, maybe not free water. That's still the discussion, and that's part of the feasibility studies to understand what would be our cost benefit for this supply. So construction general permit, whenever a developer comes into a city, they have to have a general construction permit to do that work. And in the design of that construction, they have to determine how they're going to meet water quality compliance during construction, but also after construction, post-construction. So if they are designing a building or impervious pavement, they have to figure out how much area is now impermeable and then how much the pollutant load is for that project. Now, that developer would then be required to build on-site water quality BMPs, best management practices, that would treat that pollutant load for that area. It's very costly. It prevents the developer from using all of the land that's available because now you have to make land available for these treatments. And then post-construction, it's very expensive for the individual cities to maintain them, and they don't honestly work very long, and so they have to be dug up and replaced. And again, that's another expense that now the cities have to take on post-development. So it's not a fun thing for anyone to have to do in construction. Now, industrial permits. These are industrial facilities, much like Orange County Water District, OC San, other water utilities. We all have water quality parameters that we have to meet. OC San, they collect every bit of stormwater that falls on their property. They put it back into their treatment system, and they give it to us, and we get to reuse that stormwater. So that's a reuse opportunity that already exists with stormwater, which is wonderful. We want to keep doing that wherever we can for a water supply. And then the third permit is the Municipal Separate Storm Sewer System. We call it MS4 permit. These are the city's post-construction, just everyday water that falls on the ground. And they're responsible for the water quality that's discharged to any water body, whether it's a tributary, river, storm drain system, or the ocean. And this is where the big pressure is coming on regulatorily to do water quality treatment projects. And the state water board is putting a lot of pressure to find reuse so that it's not discharged to the ocean, but it's reused for a water supply purpose. Okay, so this is happening already. It's new. They want to do more projects. They need help, and they need a funding mechanism. The County of Orange has spent a lot of time and many years doing a water balance study just for stormwater to understand in our service area where is stormwater being lost and how much is being lost. And that study shows that roughly 86,000 acre feet of dry and wet weather stormwater are being lost to the ocean. It's a lot of water. You know, we don't love when water is wasted for us to the ocean. The state doesn't want stormwater on the city level to be wasted either. It does matter where this water exists, though, and whether it's an opportunity for OCWD. So the feasibility would be understanding what projects have been identified by the county and where they're located and how much actual water supply they would give in a cost-benefit analysis to us. Location, location, location. It matters. So we've overlaid the county's projected future water quality projects for infiltration on this map. It's the orange blocks that you see. These are future identified projects. And then we've overlaid our pressure zone on top of that map to understand where would the benefit be for the deep aquifer and for water supply. So the dark green area represents the OCWD opportunity for deep aquifer water supply. And roughly that would be 36,000 acre feet of potential new water source for us if we were to partner with the County of Orange. Now, this is the whole portfolio of projects that have been currently identified for the future. They don't exist right now. That slide likes to advance on its own. Okay, the other area, which is our shallow pressure zone, that's not as easily accessible for drinking water supply because it's in the shallow area. Now, the county has come to us and asked, could they build or us build or many partners build together a regional project where they could gather that stormwater, treat it, and use it as a possible source for seawater intrusion rather than just the GWRS water? So it gives you an alternate source of water potentially for that purpose. We know we are expanding in that area, so there might be an opportunity. It's just an idea, it's concept, it's future planning. The other idea that's being brought forward is combining into a larger regional system, building a second pipeline to Anaheim and piping this water up to Anaheim for water supply. And that would help build a redundant pipe system for GWRS. That way, if you needed to do any repairs or maintenance to that line, you could take that line off, switch to the other line, and that way you'd keep GWRS running. So that builds in redundancy and resiliency for the agency to have duplicative systems like that, backup systems. So those are ideas. And we know that we're going to lose our storage capacity behind Prado due to sedimentation. And we're going to lose, you know, roughly 18,500 acre feet over the next 50 years. This potential water supply would more than make up for that loss, as well as add on for the loss that we're losing in the base flow amount as well, potentially, right? This is all about doing a feasibility study to see what's real. Stormwater credit banking. So we're talking about water supply, but we're also talking about a funding mechanism that would help fund the water quality projects that would create the water. No one can afford to do the projects. They don't pencil out if it's just one entity. The only way it makes sense financially is economies of scale and multiple partnerships and a funding mechanism. So City of Anaheim has already, they're the first in Orange County to have a regulatory framework for stormwater credit banking. They presented to the board last week on that program. And what we would like to know is how can we as an agency partner with that program? And is it just about getting the water? Is it about sharing credits? What would be a governance? How can we help support them to build more water quality projects, right? How could we partner? The way that the credit system works is you'd have a developer. They'd come in, identify their area where they want to build. And instead of building the site-specific BMPs, water quality projects on site that take up their land, that cost so much to build, that cost so much to maintain after construction, they would forego that and purchase credits for where pollutants have already been treated somewhere else in the watershed. So you don't have to treat where you build. You can pay to get out of it as long as collectively in the watershed, the balance equals out. So as long as there's a water quality project removing credits in the same watershed, you can buy your way out of doing site-specific projects. And those credits cost money. And the person or entity, city, county, whatever, who built that water quality project could sell the credits for the amount of pollutants they've already taken out with their project. And they make money off of that. They sell it to the developer or themselves for their own projects, right? So City of Anaheim is doing this already. They're off and running. they are actually going to run out of credits and they have more developers who want to purchase. So there's a market out there. So who's doing this already? As I mentioned, Anaheim, they're the first to do it. They already have projects in the ground and they have scheduled projects for the future. North Orange County is also developing a proposal for a stormwater credit banking program, and they are working with a regional board right now. And again, I showed you their portfolio of future projects that they've identified for their credit banking system, which is quite a lot. So it's a huge funding generator mechanism potentially for them. Metropolitan has already co-funded a project with Anaheim. They have put $1 million roughly towards one of Anaheim's projects to be built. So there's a lot of interest in these projects. And Metropolitan's interest is to help reduce demand on their system. And so this is a way that reduces Metropolitan demand and also brings water into OCWD. So our objectives with the feasibility study is to identify partnerships, regional collaborations, cost-benefit analysis, and we want to look at multiple spatial scales. So here's the three scales. There's indirect diversions into OCWD groundwater system. That means a city, a county could go build a project and put water in the ground, and it's not through our facilities. It's on their own property. We still get the water, but it has nothing to do with us. So that's indirect. Or they could partner with us directly at Anaheim and put water into our recharge basins. And that would be directly through our facilities. So we would want to know the governance of the credit banking. How could we be a partner in that bank? Are we just in it for the water? Are we sharing credits? You know, is there a competition problem? And what is the competing market? So that's at a city level. Wherever you treat the water is where you sell the credits. So you are limited to just City of Anaheim for that. The second larger scale would be the county itself. So then we'd have all of Central and North Orange County, if they were to get their credit program up and running. How could we potentially partner into that? How could we tap into that? How do we support them and incentivize them to build those projects so that we get the most water from that portfolio? It doesn't make sense to just do one-off projects. It only makes sense if we're doing the whole portfolio. And then the third level is, can we get credit for what we're already doing in Anaheim? So I've looked at the regulations. I think there is a way for us to generate money off of what we're already doing operationally in Anaheim. And then that would give us an income revenue system to help either support the other banks with projects or to use that funding for our own projects. So here is the City of Anaheim. This would be the first scale. Within the City of Anaheim, there are three distinct watersheds. So they're denoted by the different colors. The largest watershed in the City of Anaheim is the Santa Ana River watershed, which is where our facilities are fully located. And again, you can only sell credits where you're treating the water. So they would have three different areas of selling based on this watershed model. Majeska Park is the first project. It's already in the ground. It's already built. It's already generating credits, and it's already supplying us with water. So that's 150 acre feet. The next project that's in line and is being worked on right now is the State College Stormwater Tank Project. This is the one that Metropolitan funded almost $1 million, and it's only for 65 acre feet. Okay, so they put in, you know, quite a bit of money for that amount of water, and it's important to them. There's a third project that's being proposed for us, and this is a direct diversion into our Chantilly. It's called the Chantilly Storm Drain Diversion. This would be a direct diversion into our system. It's a lot more water. It's 1,000 acre feet. It's also a lot more expensive. There are many interested parties, Caltrans. They would get trash generated credits. We've got the county interested, the city's interested, and we are potentially interested because this is a significant amount of water, right? So it's the cost hurdle that really prevents these projects from moving forward. So if we can figure out all the partnerships and grant opportunities to move the portfolios forward, it could potentially benefit us long term as a water supply. The second level that I mentioned, which is the county, this is their jurisdictional area for projects. And then for our bank, if we were to do one just for ourselves, it would just be for the Anaheim facilities that we own and operate already. And again, we are asking for permission to go do a feasibility study to understand these three different spatial scales, how we might benefit, the cost benefit analysis, and the potential water supply at each level. All right, thank you very much. Be happy to take any questions.
Any questions? Can you see, are there any questions online?
Oh, let me see. Can I see?
Director Tran?
Yes, I have a question. Are we to do this in-house, by the way? This is very innovative. Or are we farming this out to consultants, or how long does it take?
The feasibility would be an RFP to consultants who are more familiar with these kinds of systems than we are internally. There are credit banking programs that exist nationally outside of the state of California, but there are also several within California. There are some in Northern California. There's one in San Diego, and then we have the Anaheim program. So we would prefer to have that expertise from a consultant and do a survey of the different kinds of programs that exist and then develop one, you know, give us a concept of what would benefit OCWD.
Would it also include a financial analysis?
Yes.
I think, Doctor, you mentioned about the feasibility, the cost financial feasibility. You know, with MEC pitching in $1 million in return for 65 acre feet. So I think it's important that we get the bang, so-called bang for the buck. In terms of the cost and whether we want to invest or even partner with other agencies or entities to go forward with this. So I wonder if there will be a component, financial component,
it
in
is
the feasibility study.
It is already included in the scope of work for the feasibility study.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Director Sheldon.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. How much has Anaheim collected in their credit so far in dollar amounts?
I'm not privy to that information, Director Sheldon.
Do you know how much they spent constructing their projects?
No, sir, not. I have not been involved in their project. They did present last week.
Right.
Yeah.
Did they present that? I don't recall the number. So they didn't, they did not present that.
I don't think they did.
Do you know? Okay. Well, this just begs the question. Do you know if the credits, if it pays off the cost of construction?
Yes. I know that they are making more money than they have spent in construction of the projects. I do know that.
Just generically, you were told that, but you don't know the dollar amounts of either.
That's correct.
Okay. I would thought you might have known that for today.
They're not willing to share that information with me at this time.
It's a public record. Should we do a public records request on Natalie?
No, I think they're in negotiation to sell the remaining credits, but they're not at liberty to say who that purchaser is, and that deal has not quite been made yet.
So, could you please ask whomever you asked there, what was the cost of construction?
Sure.
Was the land cost, everything costs, and how much money have they taken in so far? And they're, if they're equaling out just that cost of construction with the credits they intend to sell, that's a fundamental question. So, who do we see as buyers of these credits, and what do we see as our cost of construction?
We're just asking to do a feasibility study at this time. So that feasibility study would help us answer these types of questions. I know that Anaheim says that they're going to sell out of all of their credits, and they don't have enough credits to sell to developers who want them. So there is a market need for more credits and water quality projects.
A fundamental question before we even, I think you've done a lot of research on this, and I believe that information is out there. That's like a kind of a fundamental question before we even start.
We put those questions in the feasibility study.
Right, but before we spend the money on the feasibility study, before we, mm-hmm. I'm just taken back, honestly. I think, if we can we break up the feasibility study and maybe just do a in-house sort of a pre-phase one to get a better information of what all this is before we kick off $150,000 on this. And I think there's been time spent, but I'd like to get some more information from staff. I'm not comfortable supporting this today. I'm comfortable of the concept. I think it's great, but I'm wanting more information before I want to hire somebody.
Yeah, we, Director Sheldon, we can do that. There's no rush. We can delay a month and allow staff to go out and try to get as much information as we can from what you've requested.
Who are the consultants that you would have sent this RFP to?
There's a list of consultants. Everyone's pretty excited about the opportunity. There's a lot of other like flood control districts who are looking at the same opportunity.
Let me repeat my question. Who are the specific consultants that you can think of that you were going to send this RFP to?
I don't have the list in front of me, but I'd be happy to send it to you.
Know of anyone off the top of your head.
We have AECOM, Hazen and Sawyer, the big top ones.
I saw Michael, I can't see. Michael,
yeah, Michael Baker.
Michael Recupero? Yes. Michael, I apologize for being tongue-tied. Would he be someone that would be responding to the RFP?
We would put it out, and anyone would be allowed to respond.
Have you talked to Michael?
No, I don't know who that is.
Okay, he's very involved in this issue. Probably has a lot of information on it. I know that he was a part of the city getting their approval from the Regional Water Quality Control Board for their permit to do this.
We talked to Daniel Apt and GSI, who were the two consultants who helped Anaheim build theirs.
Okay. Well, I'd just like to get some more information on this. I'm not comfortable just going forward at this stage. Like I said, thank you.
Yep. Okay. And just for the record, we're not saying that we're going to buy anything. We're just looking to see if we can get credit for the things we are already doing. It would be a no cost.
Without the RFP?
No, we would need a consultant help to understand how to form the credit banking process. That's not something we have in-house expertise on.
Anaheim has it, don't they?
No, they had a consultant. They had three different.
But they do it now, right?
Yeah, they do it now.
And we can ask them.
And we have. We're in weekly meetings with Anaheim.
You have a background in water quality and stormwater, don't you?
I do. Yes.
Thank you. So I just would like to get a little more due diligence from our professional staff. I think they're extremely intelligent and qualified before we go off more on this.
Happy
that's one person's point of view. Thank you.
Yep.
Okay. We have a recommended action. Do we have a motion?
Okay, I'll move that staff look at this potential scope of work, get talk to Anaheim on how they put it together, come back with information from them, come back from with where, you know, my other question was, I didn't ask, you know, and I'm making a motion right now, but the county's considering this. Where is the county looking to locate it? You might have said that, though. Who are the county looking to be the people that buy the credits before they spend all this money? I think there's just a lot more questions to ask as to big picture that are accessible information. We don't need it. We don't need a consultant for yet. So I'd like to, and maybe some of my colleagues, I don't know if Director Bildo is familiar with this field of work. Director Yeo, others can come up with some more thoughts. I'd like to see that information. So that's my motion to come back with some information, with additional information.
I have to check and see. Are you able to make a motion?
No. Maybe I'm not. Well, never mind then.
And Director Shelter, I just want to mention also that City of Anaheim and the county helped write the scope of work for this RFP. They were partners in this effort.
Then they can great. They can share lots of information. I'm just trying to get more information in right now that I thought that I think we should have before we start off.
Okay. And I'm happy to bring them back with me so that we're doing this together.
In my understanding, our professional staff typically is a not an expert, but very knowledgeable in the subject matter, qualifying them to write a scope of work. And I think you are. I think you got some information from the cities, which are great. But it feels like we need some more information, what we're getting into.
Director Wigand?
So do we think, you know, we could just continue this item for a month and then the answers to Director Sheldon and maybe some other directors can be satisfied and we'll come right back to this in a month or next meeting? What Director Sheldon, I'm trying to understand, you know.
I've got some questions that I thought were pretty good to know of how much it cost Anaheim and how much they are getting in revenue from it and what that looks like before we kick off this. So, if we can get that information in 2 weeks, great. Get it in a month, whatever is up to staff. I'm fine either way.
Yes, we can get that information and then come back to the board with it. So we could come back to the board at the next monthly water issues committee.
Okay.
Yeah. So, Madam Chair, do you need a motion so that this matter can come back in a month?
Wait a minute. We have one more question. Director Bilodeau.
Yes, thank you. I do share Director Sheldon's concern. $150,000 is 50 cents on the replenishment assessment. And I think that we need to probably delve a little deeper into Anaheim is in terms of what they've done since they've sort of made the investment and they're on the bleeding edge of this. From the presentation we received last week, Keith told us that they had one customer and it was Anaheim Public Utilities. I remember that quite specifically because it turns out that OCWD actually paid the bill on most of that because it was for PFAS wells, which was sort of unsettling for me. But the one thing I think about though is I don't know that we don't have I don't know that we have properties to put these types of projects on, and nor are we a agency that gives out entitlements. Typically I would think the cities would lead these kind of efforts up, but maybe there's something there though to take some regional leadership on this type of issue. I'd rather not spend $150,000 quite yet. I think we've got to kind of flesh some other things out first, not to use a pun. Thank you.
Jason, did you have a comment? Oh, okay. Do we need a motion on this?
Correct procedure, Madam Chair, okay. Just to table it for a month if that's the desire.
Okay. Director Amezcua, are you ready to make a motion?
Yeah, I would just like to table this matter for a month and can have them come back with the information that's been requested by the board.
Do I have a second?
Can I second it?
No,
I'll second it.
And
roll call.
Okay.
Director Green?
Yes.
Director Wigand?
Yes.
Director Yeo?
Yes.
Director Tran?
Yes.
Director Amezcua?
Yes.
That motion passes 5-0.
Madam Chair, if I may just add, I remember the presentation in Anaheim. It looked like they built a terrific facility, but I saw millions and millions of dollars in that construction. So I'd like to know if they're recouping that, if they perhaps had to do that for some other reason, and this was a added layer of benefit for it, or this was a completely voluntary program that they spent those millions of dollars for. It just looked expensive, and I'd like to know the revenue that we think that we might get from this and what they've received from their efforts. Thank you.
Item 9 is the proposed fiscal year 2025-26 capital improvement program budget. Ryan? Oh, I'm sorry, John.
Well, that's all right. That's right. Yeah. Our district engineer, Ryan Boulay, will present this. Ryan, I'll just mention, since this is almost entirely PFAS, you could go relatively quick.
Yep, absolutely. There we go. All right. Thank you, John. Thank you, Madam Chair. The fiscal year 25-26 capital improvements budget. You've seen this table many times already. We're down here with the review CIP next week. Should be the last one, and we'll approve a budget. This table shows, again, the same chart you've seen many times. The CIP here is circled in yellow, 87.2 million. Whoa. There we go. Just real quick, a reminder for the board. This is, with the CIP process, you know, there's several steps in the process, including pre-design, feasibility engineer support, CEQA, then we'll come back to the board. Then we'll complete design specifications, get to a point where we're ready to construct, come back to the board again, and then construction will start. Here's just a list of all of the major categories of projects and some of the specific projects that are funding the CIP. The 21 PFAS systems is the lion's share of that 87.2 million. And then a few other small projects, which I'll go in detail on a few of those here in just a moment. First off, this is all of the CIP projects that are currently in the CIP for next year. There's a couple in construction, mostly they're in planning or design. Of course, we're holding on building those yet, so none of those are going to be in construction. They're mostly round two projects. The few that we wanted to highlight were the Anaheim wells. This is one of the larger projects, four wells here. Capital cost for the 25-26 year, 12 million, total cost of 32. Activities will be design and construction. Again, we're not going into construction until the board authorizes that. Hopefully sometime later this year. Again, Garden Grove, same sort of scenario, three projects that are far along in design. We will have completed plans probably in calendar year Q3 of this year. This one, $7.5 million this year to spend, $25 million overall budget. The Santa Ana, this one here is the Garthie Station project, and this one is a large project, several wells all manifolded to one centralized treatment system, similar to Yorba Linda or Tustin. This one here has a current capital cost of $6 million, total capital cost of $25 million, and this one here would take care of five different wells. And then here we have the Walnut Station. This one is just starting design, about $4 million anticipated this fiscal year, and $25 million total capital cost. And then we have a couple of our smaller projects. This one here is a La Palma Recharge Basin Demonstration Project. This is a shallow recharge project, kind of like a French drain sort of concept that we're hoping to be able to expand recharge around some of our existing properties at a much higher elevation. with underground piping. So this one here, total cost $300,000. We're about 75% through design, so it'll be ready to go pretty quickly, and we should be able to finish this project in this next fiscal year. And then, of course, the Prado former clay target range remediation project. We've spoken about this one previously, so I won't go into too much detail, but we're looking to hopefully get this project kicked off this year with a, you know, design and construction, 0.7 million this year, total capital cost of 2.7. Permitting will probably take most of this next year and maybe a little bit of construction towards the end. So that's it. That's what we got. Happy to receive any board comments.
Any comments? Are there any online? Okay. Do we have this is informational, so we can move to, can we put everything on consent?
Yes. Well, you want to not.
Why two? Why not two? Nobody was here. It went through. Okay. All right. So we can change it. Okay. Put everything but two on the consent calendar and two for consideration.
We can. I want to check with partner, but we can revisit it.
Okay, that's all right. Do we have any directors' announcements or reports? Okay, general manager.
Just quickly, I wanted to mention we received the Aqua Certificate of Excellence Award, and we'll receive that award at the Aqua Conference in May.
Okay. Congratulations. We are adjourned.